Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we are here live in St. Louis. Let me apologize in advance. We're not live streaming via Facebook tonight because we're not in our sterile environment that we normally broadcast from, but we are in a situation where I believe we'll be able to get some good conversation going. If you're following us on Facebook, you can still communicate with us and lodge your questions, your comments on Facebook, or call us right here at 657-383-0944. We'll be happy to engage. In fact, we will be happy to have you call us live here tonight. But we won't have a live stream and a video for you to go back and see the show on video after tonight, but you can always go back to the bfcinstitute.com and click on the blog talk link, and you can hear this show in its entirety. All right. We are in St. Louis, Missouri tonight, and we're grateful that you have joined us, those of you that will and have joined us from the podcast platform. And again, we want to encourage you to give us a call here. If you're tuning in for the first time, this is a radio broadcast or dialogue sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute, and it's a part of a nonprofit organization. We endeavor to open national dialogue about at-risk urban youth across America, and that's really our primary focus. So if you hear us talking about urban American issues, that's the rationale behind it. We hope to have Pastor Ricky Waller to join us tonight, as well as you and others that have been calling in. I typically offer a monologue. In my monologue, I'm going to keep my promise, and I promised in our last episode to offer the construct or some ideas about how you can bring stability for a young man, how to establish economic stability for a young man. That's the question that was raised. How do you do that? And we're going to answer that tonight. We're going to answer that tonight in our monologue. As BFC Institute continues the conversation, however, about economics, which is a pillar, one of three pillars we identify of a healthy and viable community, we focus on the importance of preparing youth to become economically established as a citizen of the world. Okay, in this discussion, tonight, we're going to emphasize the importance and significance of being able to turn around some of the most negative and counterproductive behaviors that we have seen. Now, some things you won't ever be able to erase the fact that they have transpired or happened already, but we can break that cycle, and hopefully somebody will walk away with a new template for how to make a real difference. And that's our aim tonight. So we are grateful that you join in with us again. And again, I hate that we are not in a position to air live, and we've had some good fun with that, and we're grateful for people listening and following us. But just you know, use the conversation thread there on Facebook and join us. That'll be good. All right. Having said that, again, the number to call tonight is 657-383-0944. And we'll be right back after our monologue. Look out for those seven principles to establishing stability for a young man. They'll work for you if you use it, and they won't if you don't. March 15, 2018. Again, we're talking from the topic, how to establish economic stability for a young man. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and the 21st verse reads, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him." Galatians, the 6th chapter and the 7th verse reads very simply, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." It is extremely important that the primary environment, children, is properly structured in the interest of their future success in life. By divine intent, there are two major voices of influence in the early development and shaping of a child's character. That's the voice of the father and the voice of the mother. What the previously read text in both Proverbs and Galatians suggests is that the Creator, Elohim, the Lord God, has positioned the father as the life coach for boys. Accordingly, they have a duty and responsibility to ensure that as that male child develops over time, he receives all the guidance, support, and training necessary for his future accomplishments. Now, I understand that in the real world we live in, there is the unfortunate existence of dysfunctionality, particularly in urban American neighborhoods. It affects the family, parents, the biological progenitors of that child, and their caregivers, be it a grandmother, an auntie, a friend, or somebody else. And oftentimes, it impacts the limited opportunities to receive pro-social guidance that sets the child up to compete in the world socially, economically, and politically. But I want you to understand, and let me just be clear, if you are of the age that you've reached beyond this period of time that we're talking about, naturally it's too late. If you missed out on these things, it's too late for that. I mean, we're not going to be able to bring that back. But that just means you have work to do to start over. It's not that it's impossible. But my hope tonight for a young man and a young woman who is looking to start a family, who haven't had children, it's nothing wrong with having a love and a relationship with someone, but I hope they learn how to plan for raising children in the fear and admiration of the Lord, but more importantly, so that they can be successful in life. Okay, so with that, I'm going to offer these seven principles that we talked about. And let me begin by saying that I'm speaking from the text of a workbook that I produced back in 2006. And that workbook is entitled A Framework for Fatherly Instructions, Understanding the Male Growth Process. In saying that, it's a recognition that they don't just grow up in happenstance. My dad was a preacher, pastor for 55 years, and he was, and bless his heart, he meant well, but he was busy saving the world, and he missed out on some things. Now, there were other things that he was a great example of for me. He gave me the idea of entrepreneurism and the idea of doing something for yourself. But there are some other key lessons that, unfortunately, we missed out on. If he could come back now, I believe he would say, hey, that's where I fell short, and here's where I have to pick up. All right? So nonetheless, my point is that we want to offer these things. Now, somebody asked me, Doctor, how do you know that's going to work? Well, I have firsthand experience with these things working. Okay, so here we go. We're going to offer these seven principles, these seven things that you should do. And I hope that you're able to give us a call. Give us a call here, 657-383-0944. Perhaps you have a different idea. I want to hear about it, though. I want to hear about it. I see we have two callers in queue already. But here we go. Let's start with principle number one. Between the ages of birth and 3 years old, the father should make sure that there is a well-structured home environment. And in that environment, that boy is acclimated to logical thinking or processing. So what do you mean by that, Doctor? I mean that if you're going to buy him toys, buy him things like building blocks and puzzles and things that challenge the eyes and the mind to think and to process information. Have books around. Read to them. Speak to them directly. And encourage them to engage you so that they have to use their little young mind. Get them used to a routine of action. Going to bed at a certain time, getting up at a certain time. You're talking about from 0 to 3 years old. Well, what about a newborn baby? How are you going to do that? Holding that baby and just talking to it. Telling them things like you are somebody and you're going to do great things. Guess what? Over time, that child develops a recognition of your voice, and you become an essential voice of authority in their life. Teaching a child to become obedient. You hear people talk about the terrible twos. Well, the truth of the matter is the child is really seeking to know just how far they can go. And you need to be there to let them know how far they can go. I'm not saying you got to beat them, but you certainly have to structure their life and their routine in such a way that when they veer off the right path of displaying appropriate behavior, you're right there to recorrect them and get them right back on track. What you're doing is establishing a connection and a respect for authority in that child's life, and that is key. And one of the reasons that is key is because when that child gets older, they don't only need to respect external authority, but they need to respect their own authority in the universe. And you got to tell them, you have authority, and you have a right to have authority. Now, what is key is that when that child is born, now I know this is high cotton right here, but this is, I'm telling you, it works. Start a savings account. Start out with about $1,111. Every year until they reach the age of 18, add $1,111 to that account for that child. Okay? Now, that's between birth and 3 years old. Are y'all walking with me? They don't want to do some math here. Now, consider this. At age, the second principle has to do with setting the child up to engage in age-appropriate challenges, and that's between 4 and 6 years old. It is social psychologists and behaviorists suggest that about 5 to 6 years old, males and females begin to identify themselves with the gender as a boy or a girl. And they begin to start actively demonstrating things that they've observed in their environment by other people and key figures. Okay? So they go challenge you, but as a parent, you need to challenge them. But you have to make sure that it's age appropriately. All right? And what that does is requires them to be accountable. Sometimes they get out there and they do things trying to prove to you that they can do good and they can show you what they've learned, and they mess up. Well, if you're not there to guide them and coach them, they can feel bad about their mistake and shut down on ever trying to do anything positive again. Or if you scold them, you whip them and you tell them, don't you ever do that again, those type of things, you can emotionally damage and stunt their desire to do things and to take on challenges. That's the only way you're going to overcome them, is to take them on. What kind of challenges, doctor? Well, challenge them to do their personal hygiene, to brush their own teeth. You're talking about 4 to 6 years old. Challenge them to, when they get up in the morning, to keep their hygiene up, wash their face, take a bath. Now, you don't want to leave a full tub of water with a 4 or 6 year old, but again, we're talking about age-appropriate challenges. Leave just enough in there for them to wash that thing, and you understand what I'm saying. Rinse off real good. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Huh? Clean their own room. Set them up so that they can keep up with their personal items and keep them neat. Their clothes. Teach them how to hang their clothes in the closet. Teach them how to keep their head calm. Teach them how to keep their shoes clean and how to keep them neatly stacked and have order around them. Those are things they can learn between 4 and 6 years old, starting at that age. All right? That's principle number two. From one, structured environment. Number two, appropriate, age-appropriate challenges leading to accountability. Now, watch this. Here's the third principle. And what we've done is we've moved right into now the introduction into the manhood principle, 7 to 9. What behavior psychologists suggest is that what happens to children in general, we're talking about males now, between the age of about 5 and 9 years old, they record those in the back of their memory. In some kind of way, their reaction to challenges in life later is related to those key memories of things that they've been through, people they've been seeing, things that they've observed in their environment. So then you want to be focused and deliberate about introducing them to the manhood principle. Well, what is that, Doc? It's about responding and reciprocity. Whatever you get, be willing to give some back and not be greedy and share with others. But you first show responsibility for yourself. And then you look to be responsible from a civic standpoint. And you teach them about civic engagement and expectations of society. You're reinforcing, again, accountability and respect for authority beyond those two voices of influence, the mother and the father, when you teach about civic engagement. That's what they're going to need when they go out in the real world. And what happens is, we see it every day, young people are having clashes with law and with their teachers and other people in authority because many of them, in fact, all of them, I would argue, have never been taught properly at the correct point in their life and development to respect authority. You don't have to agree with everything those in authority say or do, but have enough respect to listen, pull from it what you can, and move on without being disrespectful. We're talking about introducing between 7 and 9 years old, principles of manhood. All right? Now let's go to 4. Between age 10 and 12, watch this, y'all. Watch this. Remember that bank account you started for them when they were born? Now it's their responsibility to keep it up to know every penny that's in there and to make sure that they add that $1,111 every year. Well, where are they going to get the money from? You teach them to manage this account by taking on chores, and you pay them for the completion of those chores. Part of the money that they receive, they may want to buy toys or whatever, but some of their money have to go every month to put in that $1,111. I'm going somewhere with that, y'all. I'm going somewhere with that. There's a good end there. Just bear with me. All right? And what happens is now they're responsible for managing this account that you started for them. You're still there as a coach. All right? And they're responsible for ensuring that annual contributions are made of that dollar amount to that account every year. All right? So here we go now at age 13 through 14. Now you got an account. You're in starting to get ready to go to high school, right? And you begin to prepare yourself for some sort of not just a career, but starting your own business perhaps. Then you need to look at all of their natural skill sets and all of their desires and the things they do well and work with them, process them through developing a business concept that is based on what they do best. In other words, their strengths and their weaknesses. You've got to be deliberate and focused about this, people. All right? They got some money already. We're going to do a little math here to figure out how much they got by the time they reach 18. But now, at 14, you've thought about what kind of business you want to be involved in. I'm not saying you shouldn't work for anybody, but if you work for them, be looking, have them think about how long do I have to work for Mr. X before I can become independent and do that for myself. You're introducing this concept. They've been taught how to be responsible. They've been taught how to manage resources, right? Now they're looking at preparing themselves for something greater. 6:15 to 16, they need to establish a network of associates. Now, this is where the games play a major role in too many young men's lives that lack this instruction. And what happens is these young men are promised by the game, we're going to provide for you, we're going to provide you protection, and we're going to take care of everything you need as long as you show your loyalty and allegiance to the game. Well, the father needs to teach this young man that if you got a friend or an associate, it should be somebody that share your values, that ain't going to get you caught up in the game. Huh? And your friend should be like this. If you can't be a friend of mine, that if I need $1,000, you can give it to me. If you need $1,000, I can give it to you. Now, where's a young man that's 15 or 16 years old going to get $1,000 from? Well, you started him an account 15 years ago. And by now, he has at least 15 grand tucked away. What, are y'all walking with me? Your friends should share those same type of values with you. And if they can't do that, guess what? They dead weight to you. And they're subject to get you caught up in the game. That's what happens in the street. Young kids don't know where they're going or what they're doing. And it's easy for anybody to drop a game on them. And they wondering, how did I get locked down? Well, you didn't know. And I'm not beating you up for not knowing. I'm simply saying that this is the guidance and instruction that will lead to a certain success. All right? Now, that was principle number six. Here's the seventh principle. And now we're looking at between 17 and 18 years of age. If you've done this right, starting from principle one, the shawty at 18 years old is about ready to finish high school and go to college. He's not going to college trying to figure out what he wants to do with his life. He figured that out between 13 and 16 already when he thought about business concepts and when he established a network of friends. Now he goes to high school, and while he's there, he's learning
math and science and reading and all those other skills that's going to help prepare him to go to college and to get the universal degrees and studies and background such that he will be able to function and compete universally as a business owner. So what you're doing is engaging them in experiential type of learning. By this time, at 18, he has $20,000 in his bank account. Did y'all hear what I said? He has $20,000 that he's working with right off the top. Coming out of college now, or going into college with $20,000, spend 4 years to develop and perfect a business concept. When he comes out of college, who he has to beg for some money? Who do he have to get a loan from? Why does he have to ask his mama and his daddy anything when he's already stacked his dough? All right, let's talk about it, man. Phone lines open, 657-383-0944. Somebody on this. Now, Pastor Waller, how you doing? I see 1080 and 1098. Y'all correct me, man. Get me right now because I may be wrong. Where did I go wrong with my monologue?
You went all the way right. Yeah, you went all the way right.
Okay. Do you see the difference in what we're used to and what we're accustomed to doing, 1098?
Yes, I understand.
And it's a lot of good people out there who don't know. Children, the fun part of making children is laying down to get them. But the real work when they get here.
Hey, right.
Can I just put that's when the real work starts right there. That's when you really show yourself a man.
Hey, right.
Now, I wish that we can go and get a UPS truck, man, and round all these little young cats up and reverse time and start them off like this, but we can't. Here's what we can do, though. We can break the cycle today. We can teach young guys that who haven't made any children, who you know, it's natural for you to be attracted to someone of the opposite sex, a woman, you know, be with a lady, start a family, but teach them properly so that they can. This is what the preacher can teach, see? These are the type of things that we can instill in these young men so that they can break this cycle of poverty, this cycle of crime, this cycle of early death and destruction, man. I mean, man, okay, let me be quiet. Yeah.
No, I'll be quiet. Keep it up. Go.
Are you with me, 1080?
I'm with you. I think that's a good plan. I mean, I've never been introduced to that. I wish I'd been introduced to that a couple of years ago. But I mean, that's not a lot of time to get a lot of success out of. That's a great plan, though. That's definitely eye opener.
When we take our workshop, these are the type of things we're trying to leave in the areas that we want to go. Listen, I can't. You know, I made some mistakes myself coming. And I ain't going to be able to correct those. Excuse my English. I won't be able to erase the fact, but at least if we can cast the die in a better way for another generation, man, we can bring some of this stuff up here. And that's really where I think the work got to be put in. And I need y'all to help me tonight because I know y'all got experience too. And I know you all have some ideas as well. But these are 7 things. I think if you start off, man, by the time they reach 18, they'll be in a pretty tough position, man, for anybody to deny them or anything.
Right.
So
I'm all ears.
Go ahead, 1080. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying I'm all ears. I'm listening. I want to see how to make this thing happen, how you start it
up.
Okay.
All right. All right, Pastor Waller. That's Waller, you there?
Okay. Yes, I'm here.
Right.
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Were you able to tap into us to a monologue? I was just trying to get your feedback, brother.
Yeah, I heard so many things that was going on, you know, and I definitely know that you was talking about some things that need to be reiterated, and because you're still talking about these young brothers and what they're doing and how they are, you know, caught up into a situation that is. It's like it's a hunger, seem like, still to me, for the solution to be presented. And so, you know, I got something earlier when you first started out, and it made me much aware of, you know, I talk about it all the time, and it's a trap. You know, how can a person do something about his situation if he don't know anything about a trap until somebody, I guess, remind him? And until then, you know, it's an ongoing entering into the trap without knowing, you know, for the most part. I don't think they just volunteer and say, hey, I want to go into a trap. I don't think that's happening. You know? So, so I'm gonna come right back in just a second, though, okay?
Okay. All right. I understand. I realize we talked, and I know you're doing a couple of things, and we appreciate you joining in with us. So I tell you what, 1098, I remember asking my dad, man, for, I think it was like $500 to help me get my first car. And it hurt him that he didn't have the $500. You know what I'm saying? And what he did do, though, is he talked to one of a friend that he knew, and the friend had an extra car and what have you, and he allowed me to, he just gave me the car. You know, I just put a little work in and that sort of thing. But it was, I never will forget seeing how felt. And his thing was, you know, he didn't get the best start in that regard in terms of having a lot of material wealth from his dad. So his dad was a sharecropper down in Mississippi. You know what I'm saying? And for me, man, I was like, dang, I didn't want him to, I wasn't trying to make him feel bad for y'all. But I asked myself, dang, you know, what can I do? And I didn't have any children at that time. What can I do, man? Because that's a bad feeling for a man to be in right there. Your children looking up at you and asking you for something you ain't got. It. That's a tough spot.
Yeah.
What do you say, 1098?
Well, you came out better than I did. You know, when I was 15 years old.
I don't believe that.
My father was up in Chicago, you know, right around Cabrini Green. And that was the first time I had ever talked to him in my life. I was 15 years old. And I asked him for a car.
Okay.
Yeah, he said, okay, son, I'm going to bring you a car. Okay, I got that car, right? Next time I talked to him, I was, 21.
Wow.
You know, he came down to Memphis, you know, saw me and, my sisters, you know, which I have two half-sisters. And he said, hey, son, I got this car there for you. I said, my car's sitting out there also. You know, I don't need it. You know? I mean, you know, he wanted me to come all up in Chicago. Man, I wasn't trying to come back to Chi-Town. You know, but you came out better than
that.
I was lied to. You know?
I got you.
But, you know, me being all my, you know, my children, my girls, you know, they had a learner permit 15. They had their birthdays, cars was already sitting out there for them. And I had to understand those are your babies, you know. Your baby hungry, put some gas in it. Yeah, baby needs shoes, put some tires on it. I learned to be, I taught them to be independent. Done everything that you stated from bathing on down, you know, books, whatever, you know, all the graduate school that you know. But, you know, once they turn 18, whatever, you know, hey, it's all go. You know, but I hope.
That's interesting. That's interesting you say that, though, Outcast. Once they turn 18, you on your own. I'm turning you loose.
Well, you know, I mean, they don't want to. What I mean by that is they don't want to listen. You know, especially girls, you know, they interested in little young men and whatever, you know, but they were, you know, at a decent age and things of that nature until they turned 18.
Right.
Didn't get pregnant, you know, as stated, you know, they graduated school, things of that nature. So, you know, they could, I already knew what was coming, you know. When I'm 18 now, I do what I want to do. Well, you know, the thing that I have in store and still than you. Now, you go out there and go the wrong way if you want to and suffer the consequences. And this happens on a lot of occasions, and I said nothing. You know, the only thing I can tell them is this. I said, look, you wasn't real like that. You know better than that. you know.
Yeah.
So I hold.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Well, you know, Charles, I hear people all the time say, "I told man, when they get 18, I'm done with you. You got to get out here and get for yourself." But Charles, is it possible for you to turn chronologically 18 and still be thinking like a 10 or 12 year old because you hadn't got the right guidance and development? And if so, where does that leave you when you're out there on the street?
Exactly. You're caught up in the system. That's the trap right there.
That's it, man.
I mean, I don't think parents realize they do that. You know, it's kind of like that's your baby. You want them to do, you wish them well. Some people can't, you know, it's the countdown. You know, they can't wait till they turn 18 so they can put them out of the house. I know you want them to grow up, but same time, you don't want them to fall right in the trap either.
Right.
Man,
right.
That's a real situation.
You
know,
I'm sorry, I cut you off.
I was saying that. I see that happen a whole lot. I mean, golly, you be surprised. It don't take nothing but a second to get into the situation. I mean,
right.
I don't know.
Now, consider this, though, Charles. If you are 15 and you've been pushed out there sooner than that, right? You're 15,
oh,
you've been pushed out there sooner than that. You done added at least 5 to 7 years to your life. So you're only chronologically 15, but you got to make decisions like an adult that's 21 or 22 years old. That's another double whammy, ain't it?
Oh, it's impossible.
You know what I'm saying? And you wonder why the shouters have an attitude when you try to tell them to sit down and be quiet. Nigga, I mean, what? I'm sorry, watch out, 798. Who you talking to?
Yeah, true.
I mean, that's unfortunate, but what I'm doing is speaking to some reality. We got 372 done joining us. So welcome to the talk straight, 372.
Thank you.
Question, comment?
No, I just joined you.
Okay, we're talking about how to establish economic stability for young men. I don't know if you heard my monologue, but I listed 7 principles or steps from birth to 18 to set your young man up to be successful and to be independent. I've heard people say all the time, and all of them ain't going to do it. That ain't going to work for everybody. And I want somebody to explain to me, like I'm 3 years old, why it can't work for everybody if you use you follow the principle. And some of the things we've been talking about is the double whammy, the trap. And that is, you're 18 years old, the law and your parents and society expect you to know how to get around and do things for yourself, but you ain't been taught nothing.
Right.
You've missed that lesson. And I'm not dogging parents out. That's not my intention. I'm just trying to help us understand why it is we have so many young guys in the street getting caught up in different things. And when they sit back and ask themselves, how did this happen? Well, culturally, we have to make sure we teach our young men and prepare them economically to be independent and viable. If we don't, whether we know it or not or trying to do it or not, we set them up for some kind of trouble there. And so that's really what we've been discussing. I like what Charles was saying, that the real trap is I'm out here now, y'all. I can't swim, though. I'm out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. I can't even swim. And you done threw me out here, man. Okay, so, y'all, here I am. I'm hypothetical. I'm here in St. Louis, and I'm going to be meeting with one of the gentlemen that was on the air. We're hoping to bring our seminar here to St. Louis. Saturday I'll be meeting with him. And what I'm asking is, when we get there, Charles, how do we get our people in particular not to take offense to what we're talking about?
So how do we get our people out of this situation that you're asking?
Well, I think we know how to get them out, but the problem is they're offended as though you're trying to make me look bad or down, so you're saying I didn't do something right. How do you get past that, Charles?
Oh man, you have to kind of swallow your pride. Right.
What you think, John?
They have to swallow their pride on that because it's like, yeah, been in that situation before. You know, I'm real familiar with that scene. A lot of times, when I see the young kids. I mean, I understand every aspect of why they do what they do. I promise I do. But man, if you just live a little bit longer, you're gonna want other things you might not qualify for based off decisions you make right now. That's the important thing. I get the whole culture of it, but man, when you become that man, you're gonna become that man. I mean, then what? You gotta think a little bit ahead of what you're doing right now. Yeah, live in the future right now for future things. You can't just be living in the present hoping the future gonna be okay and you know you reckless. You gotta live according to what you're trying to head to. You gotta line up with your destiny. If you're not lined up, you're not gonna go in that direction.
Wow.
Well,
go ahead, 30 seconds.
You were asking how you were going to convey that message without offending them. And I say that's kind of hard to just not do, like you said, because it's hard when somebody's not measuring up or leveling up for somebody else to come in and tell them that they're not. But all I could suggest is just reiterating that, hey, man, I'm on your side. I'm on your team. I'm trying to play this game here with you. I'm trying to help you to win, you know. But yeah, that's tough. That's hard.
Charles, I was running as a councilman in my council district a couple of years ago. And at the time there was not that it should matter that he was white, but he was a white guy that was running against him. And, you know, he thought he would come in and say some things to the people in the room. They had us to speak to some constituents, people from this neighborhood association. I guess he thought he would say some things that he thought would make them feel good, you know, make them think he understood their plight as black folks. You understand what I'm saying? And so he started saying, talking about Black Lives Matter and how, you know, young people, they've been cheated, they hadn't had this, they hadn't had that, and blah, 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 blah. And so when it came around to me, before I knew it, Charles, I said, look, man, I've been black 3 times. I was born a black baby, raised a black boy, and now I'm a black man. Ain't nothing you can tell me about being black. But one thing I know for sure is I don't need to make excuses for the mistakes I made as a black man. I need to start correcting them. And by just trying to make me feel good about that and not deal with the problem, you're not helping me though. So would you believe that a state legislator was in the room and she went off the side talking about him? Well, now, everybody ain't gonna be to do what you're talking about. Now, I kept asking, why not? Why not? Why not? That means you may have to change your mindset and change the way you get down. But if that's going to, like you say, Charles, help you find some of the finer things in life later on, why not do that? What's wrong with that? You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
I mean,
you got to be introduced to that, yeah.
Go ahead, Charles. I'm sorry to cut you off.
I'm saying you got to be introduced to that mindset. I mean, that's why I think when we're talking about the education system, that's why I think it needs to be updated because you need to be more focused on real life action, what you're about to walk into. I feel like school don't prepare you for life, though. I mean, it prepares you for jobs, but there's a lot of obstacles that come in your direction. I mean, it's so fast. You got to make decisions every second of your life. I mean, one wrong decision, that's how important it is out here, but it should be more of that focused in school.
Yeah,
I feel like you have to be more prepared for that.
And so, to your point, though, Charles, if you don't teach, I know we're talking about boys, but the same thing works with girls. If they don't learn, Charles, to operate with structure and use their brain, just giving in to how you feel and what makes you feel good for the moment, it's going to get you caught up, man, because folks will manipulate the devil out of you, knowing that all you're thinking about is feeling good. You know what I mean? And that's essentially what happens when you start getting handouts. It's about the instant gratification. You never learn to work and delay your reward, delay your happiness, your good feeling, after you've worked and earned something. That's really what this seven-step process is about, is teaching young people that if it comes fast, it can go fast. But if you take your time and stack the debt and stack them right, they'll last forever. And you got a right to defend it. You got a right to defend that. Now, when you start talking like this, 1098, people don't want to hear that. I'm not just talking about white people. I'm talking about black folks don't want to hear that.
No.
I mean, go ahead, 1098.
I'll just listen. Sorry.
No. So, we're just having a dialogue. Right now. That's all. What do you think about that, 3072? Now, a lot of sisters, 3072, are raising boys by themselves. And I know that the vast majority of them are doing the very best they know how. But is that good enough, 3072? I'm picking on you because you're the only lady on the panel tonight.
Oh, no, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But, no, I mean, if your best ain't cutting it, then obviously it's not good enough. You got to, reach deeper and go stronger to try to, get to where you need to be. Here I share a little story with you. I was telling you, where my pastor at? Where Pastor Wallace?
He has been doing some things on the night that we air, and so he tries to come in with us when he can. So we talked about it. So I knew that I should have mentioned.
I was going to just share something personal. I remember I was telling you guys that I was studying, which is why I was missing some of the shows.
Okay.
So, back to what we were talking about, you doing your best and that's not good enough. So I obtained a new job, but in order to get it, I had to take all these series of tests. I hadn't been in school since 2010. So, yeah, that's kind of hurtful to your pride when you think, you know everything, you got this, you good, until you have to put your money where your mouth is and show and prove what you say you know. You feel me? But it takes a big person to be able to take a step back, to sit down and, hey, again, regroup and seek help that you need so you can move on to the next level. I did that. I conquered them tests, and we good now. We good. Mm-hmm. So it can be done. You just have to put your pride aside sometimes.
Right.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
I got a question. I was going to say, teaching them, is that the proper mindset to teach the kids, to pass down to them? Like, in order to make it, you gotta submit to a lot of authority over you. The problem is that we don't want to submit to authority first in the house, so they're not gonna come out in the world wanting to listen to that. I think that's what we're losing in the conversation because it's not interesting. Because they look at adults like, man, y'all just some slaves, man.
Y'all doing
man to say, and these kids can see themselves being grown because when they vision themselves being grown, it's not taking orders from people being mean. They can separate what's real. They know what's real and what's fake out there. So they go into the world and see how they get treated on these jobs by these bosses. Some bosses might be younger than them, talking to them in a kind of way. It makes them gravitate more back to the street because it's like a more of a culture where they understand each other. You see what I'm saying?
Correct.
But
correct.
I agree with him. But let me ask him a question. Where are they getting that lack of respect for authority? Where do they get it from? It starts somewhere.
Because they come home and see mom and dad are complaining from work and how they not making ends meet and how they might lose. They see all this going on in the house. They might lose their job. They see mom and them cussing the boss out. I hate my job. All this. When they see that growing up, they make them kind of scared from wanting to be there. They want to be something better than that.
Okay.
Let me ask that for
us. They just go approach it in the wrong manner. Uh-huh.
Right. Exactly. So let me answer that for her. Where do they get their lack of authority? I would argue, 3072, that it starts somewhere between about 3 and 9 years old when they see grown folks, they see somebody grown or around them do something, and they try to emulate that behavior. and they make a big boo-boo and a mistake, and they get scolded for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're only trying to show you what they learned, and they get punished for it. In the back of their mind, they don't know what they did wrong, and they don't understand why you won't recognize their attempt to try to show you what to show you what they observed from you, right? So when it's that situation where you become a negative voice or force against them, they lose respect for you as a what? Authoritative example that guides them through their best opportunity. That's what we talked about in step 1, 2, and 3. Structuring the environment, acclimating them to obedience and respect for authority between 0 and 3 years old. I pointed to the fact that just by you, a father, being there to hold their child. See, to a child, I believe heaven to a little child, to an infant, is being in their father or mother's arms. That's what heaven is.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing them say, I love you, feeling the warm breath from their mouth on you to know that you're close and you're secure, you're safe.
That's right.
They learn to respect and associate your actions with the authority that you have in their life for them. But if they miss that, 37 and 2, and they get up to be a certain age, especially 14, 15, 16 years old, and they've never had anything like that, all they've had to do is to grunt and to get it the way they live. Can you understand why they have that lack of authority or respect for authority? See, and Charles, I think what you were hitting at, 1 second, 30, I'm going to come right back to you. But Charles, I think what you were hitting at, brother, is the fact that when you learn respect for other people, at the same time you're learning to respect yourself and how to command respect for others.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power. That's the power of that lesson. And see, you have a right to demand respect from other people when you carry yourself respectably.
Mm-hmm.
And people value your contribution to the environment. And that's what caused them. They may not like you, ain't the right 1098, but they will show some respect for you if they know they need you. They're going to show you some respect. I mean, they may not like you,
well,
man, but they respect the fact that you're good at what you do. And hey, we need this chat right here.
Anyway, you said the magic word, good at what you do. See,
amen.
I make a believer out you. So just even you make a believer out of them when it's all over. Don't
come
you?
On now.
Tell you something. One of my daughters, just real rebellious. Let me, when I brought her from Memphis, I let them stay in Memphis, and I let them stay with their sister, and I told them like this. I said, look, if you all go to school, for the dough, I'll let you stay down here. I said, now I come down here, you all haven't been going to school, coming to Nashville with me. That happened. And, the older girl, just rebellious. I remember I was sitting at the table with them one night, helping her do her homework. Never forget it. We were doing the second term. She was sitting up there with her mouth stuck out, grunting, I put up with it for about a week. And I came in one night, she was doing something else. So I went on, I worked the problem. I said, I tell you what, I said, you get on the phone, call the homework hotline. She got on the phone, call homework hotline with the same problem. And they said, you got the same thing you got. I'm tired of you now. I said, I tell you what, I said, I'm not going to help you anymore, but you're going to fail this semester. And I didn't help her anymore. Guess what? She failed.
She failed.
That semester. She came back, humbled herself, sat down, listened to me, and she took off. Here's another instance. I gave her the driver's testing book, when she was 15. I gave her the book to study. You know what she told me? That's common sense.
Oh.
I said, okay. So I took on out to the driver's testing center. She failed.
Uh-oh.
Got back home. I said, now, read this book.
Mm-hmm.
When she read that book, she went back, she passed.
Yeah.
I don't like to argue that much. and I don't like to get angry that much. So, you know, that was my, the way that I was dealing with her. I would show you, you're going to learn one way or the other. If I ask you to do something, you do it. If you don't, you fail. And I hope. Now, was I
but
wrong or right, Doc?
No. You look, man, the fact that you stay, you let her bump ahead, but you rush to pick her up, and you let her know, now that you know what it feels like to get that nugget bump, here we go. Now let's go and get it right. And that's important.
That's right.
You know,
I didn't scream.
Right.
Listen, I didn't scream. I didn't argue. I didn't curse. I didn't call her dumb, stupid, or none of the above.
Mm-hmm.
I just let her, you know, hit that head.
May I say this? May I say this before I go to Thursday? Apparently, the fact that they didn't grow up with you the whole time served as somewhat of a communicational barrier. And you did an excellent job of fixing or breaking down that barrier.
Right, you know, I was around them. Right, I was around them all their lives, even during my time of incarceration. You know, it wasn't every weekend that was they were there. You know, they was coming to where I was. You know, it wasn't like I would just, you know, never in their lives, but being there, you know, on the 24/7 or whatever. You know, you know, I wasn't there, but you know, they was in an environment to where it was that basically they were doing what they wanted to do until I put a stop on that. Even, you know, even I was in prison, I put a stop on that. You know, the thing is this, when it comes to authority, like you going back to what you said from 3 to 9 years old. See, this is why their mother lost custody of them then. You know, again, Reverend Parker, 3 to 9 years old. It was already set. It was already in motion.
Right.
And see, they didn't have to deal with me that much, you know, due to my situation. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I guess. No, you're right. I mean, that's it. Let me, I'm sorry. I promised to go to 3072. You were going to say something. I hope you didn't lose your thought.
Oh, no. I was agreeing with, I don't know if it's Charles or who I'm talking to. He was talking about, like being a bad example as parents. We come and we vent about our day, you know, at work, and maybe even say some bad things, giving the child the wrong impression. You know, I was taught coming up, you know, you don't complain. You don't like something, don't complain. Fix it. Change it. Do something about it. You in a job that you feel like is a dead end, or, you know, somebody don't respect you, or don't work there. Go find some other job that respects you, that's going to pay you, that's going to do whatever else. But at the same time, we do have to be mindful of what we're saying and what we're doing in front of these impressionable children. And I think today, man, it's sad to see grown-A people fighting, man, fighting, shooting, stabbing people in front of their children. They cursing them out in front of their children. Yeah, and so that's where they're getting it from, a lack of respect for themselves and for other people on top of authority.
Yeah, I mean, that's real. That's real. And sometimes what I hear my lovely people say is, well, you know, that's just how we do. You know, we've been doing it that way, and that's just, you know, well, ain't nobody going to stop doing that. Well, the problem is you're hurting our children.
Yeah.
See, a lot of this is this notion, a lot of this notion that it's okay for them to take the street and literally call, wreak havoc in the street, come from just what you all are saying. There is a breakdown in communication from the adult to the children about respect. See, the bottom line there doesn't say it. If you don't know how to respect yourself, it's going to be hard for you to respect somebody else. Why do you respect yourself? Because you worked hard to do something and to present your most positive self. And you know that's worth something. And you respect you and you respect others too. So you respect yourself. Charles, what are you going to say something?
I'm listening. I agree. I think that's what it is. You know, like I said, an example. It's hard. Easier said than done, but being mindful of, you know, you don't I believe everybody take on their role model position, whether you want it or not. It is. It's very powerful, and just, you know, living that thing most, you know, positive as you can to set that example for the kids. But if everybody takes on their responsibility and don't even, I believe it's people aren't aware of it. You just wear it anyway, whether you want it or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you know what the big problem is, guys? If you teach your child these basic principles we're talking about tonight, right, and they're good with it, they go out to the playground, and my child is a knucklehead. Ain't going to do nothing right. The minute your child starts interacting with my knucklehead child, they got a problem, don't they?
Yeah.
Now, what I'm getting at is in the urban neighborhood, the urban community, and in the black community, we have to make sure that all of us adults understand that the reason I shouldn't act a certain way in front of your children and you shouldn't act in front of mine and we shouldn't act in front of none of them is because, as 3072 said, we're setting them up to what? Be disrespectful.
Exactly.
So that's
you.
That
you know.
Be a value. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Who was going?
I was just going to say today I was at work. And one of my coworkers got a call from her daughter who works at KFC, 20 years old, just got promoted to manager. You know, somebody came up, some girls came up to the store to fight another employee there, jumped all behind the counter, beat the girl up. I mean, what kind of savagery? I mean, okay, so it's bad enough. A gang of girls, a gang of females is that animal that, you know, you're going to jump on another girl. But you have that much little disregard and respect even for an establishment, a business even. I tell you, if I was the manager, if that was my store, everybody involved would have went to jail and I'd have been pressing some really hard charges. That's sick. It's just crazy.
But now, who want to see black people get locked up tonight?
Well, I do. Under that, I do.
Go ahead, tonight.
Well, you know, really, you know, I don't like to see nobody locked up. But I,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
concerned to me in the way that I was when I was younger, I was supposed to be locked up, and I, you know, and
oh, no.
I still stand on that today, you know, and I've never been angry with no one but myself. Some people should be locked up. Some people basically should get some counseling. But I do realize the counseling don't do a lot of people any good. So yeah, a lot of them need to be locked up. Should be locked up. Locked down anyway. They don't lock you up. You get locked down.
For actions like that, that girl could have lost her life. For actions like that, when animals run on a rampage like that, you deserve to be locked up. You should be locked up where other people can be safe.
You know,
I agree.
Dang.
And get some counseling.
And this is where the church comes in, guys, because legally, the court, the social services, the governor, the legislators, they cannot legislate morality and appropriate behavior. But one place most people look to for spiritual and moral authority and guidance is the church. And this is what, and maybe each church has to find how they can fit this kind of instruction in, y'all. But these seven principles, I'm convinced, and what we talk about is really what is missing from the church institution. Because you would think people knew better than that. You assume that you know better than that. I mean, who don't know any better than that, right?
Right.
Sometimes they're not getting information. Our people are not getting information. And,
right.
I mean, look, y'all, I went through this process that I laid out, and I got 20 grand, right? And I'm ready now. I'm ready now to start me a business.
somebody else my same age is looking at me out of malice and jealousy, saying, man, you think you better than
right.
me.
Nah.
What about this, y'all?
Yeah, you know what? That's about it'd be important to get everybody on the same accord as far as mindset.
Right.
So you wouldn't even think that. You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't think that. You might, you know, you should know what happened in that situation. Not that you better. You was established better, but, you know, not as an individual. You know, they go back to the parents.
You
know, I can see that. No, I can see that. I've seen people with insurance policy money.
Yeah. I mean,
I think for somebody to make this, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Now, I was going to say for anybody to make that statement is just a reflection of what they think. So they think you better, than them. That's what,
well,
I mean, especially if you ain't said that, that must be what they're thinking.
Right.
Well, you guys, if you heard the monologue, you saw how we walked through birth to 18 years old. Focused, deliberate instruction, guidance, coaching, right? And you got somebody obviously missed out on those things or did not take advantage of them. Now they're 18 years old. They can't go to a bank and get a loan without a bunch of scrutiny, can they?
Mm-hmm.
No. And the first question people want to ask you is, what kind of character do you? It's three C's in business. That's cash, character, and credit. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at you now. You don't have any cash because you're asking me for cash.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any established credit, so I don't know what your history of payment and things of that is. All I can lean on is your character. And you standing before me. You're 18 years old, and you got a basketball jersey on. Where are you going, to play basketball? You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
I'm just saying. Now, I hear people say all the time, y'all, I got a right to wear my hair like I want to and wear what I want to when I get ready. You do have that right, but guess what? You should know that the way you come to people is how they're going to perceive you, and that's how they're going to take you, whether they take you seriously or as a joke. And a lot of brothers get a
that's all at least learning right there.
Yeah, it is, man. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I had to learn that one. It took a long time to learn that one.
Well, a lot of kids are upset, Charles, because they don't understand why it is they've been played like a joke.
I don't think nobody ever told them. That's why I think they nobody ever broke it down to them enough for them to grasp the whole concept of it. I think that's what my problem was.
Yeah,
somebody told me because the reason why you don't do it is because they portray that image on TV and it's a negative look behind it. That's called stereotype, and I probably would have got it. People told me, but they never broke it down to me. What it do? You know, because I feel the same way. I should be able to express myself the way I want to with nobody judging. That's a true fact. But in reality, in other people's eyes, how you going to be, you know, looked at now, that's a totally different, you know, because they both right.
And
you know
what? I agree with Charles, but here's my position on that, and I'm a strong believer of that. I mean, shoot, ain't nothing wrong with me, and when I want to be me, guess what? I'm going to be me, but I know that there's times and places to where I have to be more than me because I'm trying to get some from somebody else. So anytime
right.
it doesn't just involve me, right, like at work, like I'm trying to apply for this, or I'm trying, then I need to come correct how on they level. But when it's me, then I'm on my own level. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, hey.
Well, now, if in a perfect world, where you can do you 24/7, 65, that's cool. But I think you just made the point. You have to step outside of your comfort zone at times. I was
that's right.
I was going to lecture at Tennessee State, right, in a sociology class. And, you know, this young guy, I didn't know what he did, but 1098, he actually worked at a bank. He was an older student. I didn't know he was an old suit. You know why? Because he had typical urban gear on, and he was dressed like the average teenager trying to get some attention out on the street. In a classroom now, in a college classroom. He was an older teenage, older adult, young, back to get his, you know, finish his degree. Well, he quickly stopped me and said, "Man, see, that's where you're wrong, because you don't know nothing about me. I work at a bank." I said, "Oh, really?" He had an associate degree already. I said, "Okay, but I don't mean you any harm, but let me ask you a question. Do you, when you go to work, are you dressed like, no, I ain't dressed like this. Well, that's just how I am right now." I said, "Do you understand that there are a lot of young guys your age?" And when he told me his age, I said, "Wow, I thought you'd be more mature than that." But anyway, that's a whole other story. You realize there are a lot of young guys your age who walk in, and that's their only first and last impression.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
Yeah.
What do you expect?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
You know, when I was going to college at night, you know, in the evening, I would leave work. So actually, I would have on my sometime I work clothes. You know, they weren't dirty or anything of that nature. A lot of people, you know, some females, they were in nursing, so you know they came in, you know, nurse uniforms on things of that nature. But guess what? When I was going in when I started going in the daytime, guess what? If I had on jeans, starched and iron, shirt never out of my pants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dress habits changed. If I had on casual shoes, guess what? Shined, you know. You know, going back to what you were talking about, you know, the kids, you know, the young man lining his shoes up, keeping his shoes clean, things of that nature.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, like my son, you know, I taught them how to shine their shoes. I taught them how to dress, you know, and keep themselves in a respectable manner. And I still have those habits today. Your 7 points, great points, good. That guideline, I also, you know, walk that guideline that you spoke of, all the things that you were talking about. I've done it, but sometimes, you know, some people just don't want to save. They don't want to conserve. They just want to just take everything and just bam, there it is right there and there. Boom. They need gas money. No.
Watch out.
No.
On my toes, that's in my head. But that's true, though. That is so true, man. And look, then, I mean, it's chronologically old people who find themselves in a position where they need something as simple as gas.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
I mean, isn't that embarrassing, though, when you find yourself the way you know, things happen. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. Things happen. And I'll use myself as an example. I keep telling people, Charles, I'm a food stamp baby, man. I grew up on food stamps. That's why I made it my business when I got to be an adult. I'm a hustle, man, because I ain't with that food. I ain't no problem. I can't do it. I got to have some green cash. You know what I mean? I want my change to be quiet when I pull it out. But I'm just saying that it can be very embarrassing when you find yourself set back like that. The thing to do here is to break the cycle. That's really what we talk about.
Yeah.
Is how to have economic stability for young men. Now, somebody's going to ask me, 3072, what about the young girl?
I know. What about them? You always on the crusade for the brothers. What about the sisters?
See where I'm going, Charles. See where I'm going, Charles.
And that's a legitimate question.
The same principles apply. Of course, you have to look at what the expectation of a responsible, well-established woman is. What happens is, I think sometimes people get caught up in all these superficial battles and wars about who should be able to do this first and that sort of thing, that you really miss out what's the most important thing. I see now where it seems as if there's this quiet move to have boys and girls compete with one another for importance in society. That's the last thing you need.
I know. That is exactly.
That's the
yeah.
last thing you need. Because your boys
and it's so subliminal.
It is. You know,
yeah.
3072, your young men should never take the position, I'm going to compete with my female counterpart, because when you're in competition, it's about taking competition what? Out.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
Now they done move now to where you'll play on a little football team, everybody get a trophy. No, dude, you lost, man.
Come back. No, that's right.
Hey, come back next year, man.
Yeah, but you know what,
though.
Well, I mean, push up.
Good luck,
you know.
Yeah. I mean, no,
I don't know.
Everybody
but
gets a trophy. Go ahead, Tanani.
No, I was just thinking about a person cannot know you. First time setting eyes upon you, I don't like him or I don't like her. I mean,
right?
You
right.
know what's going on with
right.
that?
Right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is the type of world that you know that we live in, man. You know, it just says some things you know we can't change. I mean, even down to these children. We everyone, at least everybody, know what the problem is. It starts
yeah.
in the home.
Yeah,
you know, they're
it,
not
yeah.
being taken care of responsibly the way that they are, that they should be taken care of. And
yeah.
they go out here on their own, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, and just, you know, do all sorts of things, you know. And,
And that's the problem.
I think I remember you saying one time we need to try to get with some of these parents and work with them and, you know, whatever. But none of this, I don't know. You know, just not, I don't know. I just hold there, you know. Perhaps you can elaborate
on that
before.
That's where I asked Charles, how do we bring the truth that will make you free and not have people be offended by it? Because it hurts, man. I don't
yes,
want to look at. I don't look at my own failure and be happy with it either. And this is one of the plagues. Now, I'm sure that there are whites that have problems, and Hispanic,
true.
And I imagine that there's some ills within the Asian community. You know what I mean? But really, I'm talking about the African American, because I know that one. I come from that one. And there's a lot of things that collectively are done that don't necessarily have to exist for us. And I mean, that's why I asked y'all, how do you do that in a way that you get people to appreciate that you're not that a dog and you're just trying to help them get better? You know,
I guess you got to kind of relate to them, got to relate with them, let them know, you know what they doing, you know, kind of come to your world a little bit and then teach them the game plan. Like, you know, I feel the same way. Some days I wake up wanting to do the same thing. But it's a but after that, though. It's a big but. No, it's a way to go about it. I feel the same way. I feel like he got his foot on my back. So I feel the pressure. I feel like all of that. I agree to some of that rap music. I listen to it. I know what's good.
Yeah.
But it's a but behind it. Oh, you gotta play it. It's a game you gotta play. Once you know you're playing
a game,
you get
that's it.
You think it's
that's
so personal.
It.
Man, it's them against you. They trying to defeat you. Are you gonna let them defeat you out here?
Wow.
Yeah, let them
that's
make it, man. Because I don't know you're a real cat out here. I'm a real person too. I'll bust some heads too.
Wow.
I feel the same way. But it's a butt behind that. You can't say
yeah.
that side night and get in because now you forfeit and you lose the game automatically.
No, I tell you what to do. My mom used to always say, like you're talking about people out there trying to bust heads, you just take pleasure in hacking somebody's guts out. Just hack their guts out. That's all. Don't be vicious and violent with them. You teach them a lesson is what you do. School them.
Mm-hmm. Well, Charles, he done brought the chicken butt in, man.
It's a battle you up against out here. And, man, They got places for people who lose. It's called jail. If you lose, you go to jail. Don't go past and collect $200. You go right to jail.
Yeah.
No, that's the game they're deserving. They're making jails because they made a game for you to fail in.
Hey, that makes
sense. They're not going to law schools that invent traps.
They're
going to school because they know they planted traps, fool.
Wow.
And you're going to be the trap.
That's
why they
sent
to jail.
Absolutely. I've said it like this to some young guys, dog. It's two places. You may not get accepted to college, into a country club, in the army, or you may not get accepted into some nice little fancy other organization. But it's two places that will receive you without you qualifying, and that's the grave and the jail.
Yep.
They will never reject you.
Hey,
Reverend.
Yeah, but you know what, Reverend Doc, I was listening to the young lady. She's not on tonight, but she was saying that when she went down to juvenile court or whatever, and they was telling her they didn't have this type program for the kids, and they didn't have that type program.
Right.
Reverend Doc, back in the 60s, juvenile court is totally different than it is now.
Yeah, it's a big
your
different
mother
world.
Could take you. Yeah, your mother could take you to juvenile court and tell them that you are not obeying, they would immediately take you
and leave you right there with yes, sir. And guess what, 1098? That law is still active today in most states. It's called an unruly minor. Have you
habitual disobedience.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but back then it was a habitual disobedience.
Okay. You can still do it today. No, I'm agreeing with you. You can still do that today. If your child is that out of control and you can't do nothing with them, you can take them right down there to the juvenile court or have the police come pick them up and meet them down there before the magistrate and have them adjudicated as an unruly minor, and they keep them. And you become a ward of the state. Now, who want to do that to their child?
Right.
Nobody.
Well, it was done to me, and believe me, I wasn't angry because I was very unruly.
Okay.
My mother did everything. You know, she did everything that she possibly could to keep me going on the straight and narrow, but I just refused, you know. And later on in my adult life, you know, I paid for it, and I paid for it, viciously, you know, with years taken out of my life. You know, you can't basically now go to a lot of these grown men and grown women and tell them about something that their child is doing. The first thing you say, well, ain't a man, young bitty. He just look at your own children and things and then that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Guess what? Yeah. And guess what? They got some wet for them.
They
lock them up.
They ain't
going to
reject them. They ain't going to reject
them.
Nope. We got about five minutes here, and I want to take time before we get off the air tonight to thank you, 1098. The young lady expressed the fact that she appreciates you sharing your real life experience with her in terms of the excuses about not having a job after having to sell it. I think that was really helpful information. So I think she genuinely gained something from that, and I think it helps her to know kind of how to speak to people that she's been talking to. And that's really what it's about.
So, right, but you know, there are jobs out here, you know. Reverend Doctor, look, I've applied for jobs and things of that nature, and they ran a background check on me, you know, and stuff like that, and send me a letter talking about, you know, it's under review and things of that nature, you know.
Right.
You know, it's a hit
and
miss thing, you know. I mean, any way you look at it. But they realistically speaking, they do background checks on everybody, you know, whether they went to prison or not. You know, this is just a growing thing. Reverend Docker, do you remember back in the 70s? There wasn't no such thing as no doggone drug test or no background check. Guys were going to prison, coming out, getting jobs, and you know, digging ditches and everything else.
Look,
am I right or wrong?
I knew you weren't better. My dad told me about back in the South, as long as they like you and you work hard, they know you get drink and steal and everything else. As long as you work for them, you good. And they'll get you out of jail, too.
Yeah.
And if you keep yourself out of the grave, I'll get you out of jail if you just do like I tell you to do. So, I mean, you're right. It's a different thing.
But you know, I mean, you know, even the lady, you know, she was talking, saying that she had to go back to school for something, you know. But at least she was able to go, you know.
Yes. I mean,
for whatever reason,
again,
you know, a lot of people are having to go back to school. Pardon me, sir.
But that's just an example of your wisdom, and I appreciate you sharing that on Talk Straight, because I hope others that will listen down the road that will get something from that. That's really what this is. This national dialogue is about, and that's our hope. Man, look at the time, Kylie. We got 3 minutes and 30 seconds to go. 3 minutes. Give us a final thought, guys, before we get out of here, and then we'll wrap it up for tonight. We'll see y'all next Tuesday. We'll be talking about the theology of the Black community. God, next Tuesday. Final thought there, 37-2 started off.
Oh.
Right quickly.
No, I just enjoyed the show thoroughly, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
All right, we appreciate you. What about it, y'all? Give me something else we can walk on with, man. Give me somebody to chew on tonight.
I appreciate the topic, man, for the young generation. But hey, man, we got a lot up against them, but hey, it can be done. Starting with the parents, like you said, man. Yeah, we'll make it happen.
Yes, sir. All right, come on out, guys. You the wisdom tonight, man.
Well, I mean, you know, like these young people, if they want to listen, give them the knowledge. Don't stop talking. I'll be done with that.
All right. Well, guys, we appreciate you, all of you. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. This has been Talk Straight. Tonight we've been talking about how to establish economic stability for a young man. And we appreciate all of you guys for joining us tonight. And we'll be back next Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m., Lord willing, the creek don't rise for another episode. And we're going to leave tonight with the question, has anybody seen My Hero? This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Ruben Docker. We'll see you next Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m.
Help us to find a bunch of decoration.